to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians and the 8th chapter. We are in the midst of a series in the evenings that we have entitled The Church in Focus. And last week we discussed what we titled Money Matters. And tonight I want to take some time and continue along in that thought as we consider the church and finances, and specifically tonight, thoughts concerning giving. Whether you and I want to admit it or not, money is a vital part of what takes place in the life of the church and our ministries. And as a member of this local church, you and I need to be interested in money matters of the church. And we also need to be invested in our church's money matters. The problem is that when we speak of money, we're speaking about a topic that is highly personal. And to be honest with you, I haven't done a whole lot of preaching or teaching on giving for several reasons, but one, because it is a highly personal topic. And quite honestly, in the first few years together with you, it hasn't been my desire to really broach those subjects. I believe that we as a church do give and give as unto the Lord. And so there hasn't really been the need to broach those subjects. But we realize that it can be a very sensitive issue to discuss and talk about issues of money and relate it to the church. And I believe the time has come and the need is there for us as a congregation to understand a few basic thoughts about money matters in relationship to the church. And I want to remind you that we're in the midst of this series, The Church in Focus, that we might be helped as a congregation, as a body of believers, to see what God would clearly have us do in these days. And again, I want to remind you that the emphasis is on our church. This is a very personal time for us as a congregation. This are really family matters, so to speak, and I'm approaching this series in that way. Because there's time for us to discuss our church and our ministries. And I want to put the emphasis there for that you and I as a congregation, a local body, understand what God has for us in this day. I'm not simply speaking of the church at large, but we're speaking very privately about our own ministry. And as we talk about these issues of money, I want to remind you what we said last week. We're not trying to coerce you to give more or guilt you into giving more, but we want to look at some basic Bible principles that God gives to us in relation tonight to our giving. And we want to understand those basic Bible principles, and that's what's going to be the focus of our study this evening. Before we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to bow and ask the Lord to bless. I'm going to ask Brother Lobanel, if you would, to lead us in prayer before we take on this topic this evening, and then we'll come and study 2 Corinthians 8. Amen. As we begin tonight, I want to take a moment and remind ourselves of what we took the time to consider last week. God has called us as believers to be faithful stewards of all that He has entrusted to us. That includes our personal finances, and as a member of the church, it includes our church's finances. We as individuals have been called out of God to be a part of this local church. And so I'll say again to you that we as members of this church have to be interested in money matters, and we have to be invested in the money matters of the church. We are called out to serve the Lord, to be faithful and be good stewards here in this place. And as we are His saints, called out to be those stewards, we need to be aware of all that takes place. And we, as the leadership of your church, want to be very open about those things. We have taken the steps over these last 3 years to put into place and practices that give us the opportunity to report to you that which we do with the monies that come in. And we put in our weekly bulletins, that information that helps you understand what our budget needs are weekly. And again, I want to remind you, that's a weekly need and where we are in relation to that need. Praise the Lord, God is the one who supplies and God is the one who meets the needs. But you and I need to be interested and you and I need to be invested in our church's finances and our money matters. An update from last week. With last week's offering, we are currently, on average, $871 behind now, weekly, in our givings. That's a decrease from where we were last week. We were over 1,000 last week, but God's people gave. And we'll begin to see, I believe, a trend has been there, that we'll begin to see some of our offerings pick up, and some of those things will be a part. But we want to be fair in understanding what is going on within the church. And it is our church, as we are part of His body, although we understand it's God's church, yes. But we are to be interested and we are to be invested in this local body that we have been called out to serve in. And God wants us to be aware of those things, and we want to make that aware to you. And we're going to talk openly about those things in the days ahead as well, as we as a church discuss those things that we need to do in these days. There are some key principles concerning money that I want to remind us on. And we touched on some of these, and I want to reiterate them again this evening, because these basic principles must form the foundation of our thinking if we are going to honor the Lord with our substance. There are some things that you and I must be aware, we must accept that these principles exist when it comes to the issues of money. The first thing I want us to be reminded of is the principle of provision. The principle of provision. David declares very clearly in Psalm 24 and verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. What David reminds us of, as other places of Scripture will remind us of, is that God is sovereign and He has the right to lay claim on all things and all people. We are His. He made us and He made all things that we see. He owns everything. He owns your life. He owns my life. He owns this church. He owns everything that we see. And you and I need to understand that all things belong to the Lord. If you are there in 2 Corinthians, I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. It was interesting this evening, even sitting there during choir, I was doing some other reading, and as I was reading, I came across this verse of Scripture, and I actually put it into the message tonight. I wasn't intending to, but I think it speaks so well to this issue that we see. First Chronicles 29. I think I said second. First Chronicles 29. I want you to look at verse 11 and 12. We read these words: "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Catch what God is saying? It is all His. All riches, all honor comes from Him. James says it this way to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. All that we have comes from the Lord. All of your provisions are from God. Everything that you quote unquote possess, God gave you. Now, folks, that's a mindset that we have to adopt. And it's a mindset that we have to adapt to. Because in our natural self, in our own thinking, humanly, what is in our possession is mine. And I have the right to do what is mine as I please. Yeah, folks, when I come to the Scripture, what I find is a different mindset. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, believe it or not, that includes everything that you own. Because it's in the earth. It's the Lord's. And riches and honor come from Him. He has the right to make great. By the way, He has the right to make small. He has the right to give you much or give you little. And all of our provisions come from the Lord. All that we have has come from His gracious hand. When it comes to our provisions, we must keep in mind that what we have is truly the Lord's on loan. He has given it to you and I. There's another thing, and it leads into this second principle, and that's the principle of possessions. If all that we have comes from God, and He has the right to claim all things for His own, then He has the right to lay claim on how I use what is His. God has the right to direct us in how we use His possessions. All that I have, to use language that we're able to understand. Again, I think we recognize, though, if we come to the Scripture, it's really not mine. But all that I have has been entrusted to me by God to be used for Him. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus put it this way to us in Matthew chapter 6. We can either lay up treasures in heaven, or we can lay up treasures on earth. And the choice that we make as to where we are laying up our treasures determines who we have served. And the Lord Jesus reminds us that you must either serve God or mammon. By the way, that speaks of material things. You are either serving God or you are serving mammon. You cannot serve both. It is one or the other. God, folks, has the right to direct us in how we use what we commonly call ours. Because He's the one who owns it all. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we're reminded of this truth. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Key word, whatsoever. Folks, that encompasses every area of your life, including our possessions. It includes issues of money and material things. So the principle is this. In whatever I am doing, from the mundane things of eating and drinking, whatever it is, the use of my funds and possessions that God has entrusted to me, I am to use them for what? The glory of God. That which God has entrusted to you and that which He has entrusted to me is not for me to use for myself. It is not for my pleasure. It is not simply for my gain. I am to use all that God has given to me for His glory. And folks, we understand that to simply mean to exalt the name of Christ, to raise the opinion of God in the lives of others. Folks, when it comes to our possessions, we must recognize that God entrusted them to us that we might use it for His glory, not our own. Now let's face it, that flies in the face of human reasoning, doesn't it? Does to mine. I worked hard. That's mine. God says, no, it belongs to me. And I want you to use it for His glory. We saved for a long time to be able to do those things. But God has the right to direct it as He sees fit. Because I am to do all things for His glory, not my own. We must recognize and we must reckon with the fact that giving to the Lord and partnering together with Christ in His work, when we do that, we recognize His goodness to us. Remember, every good gift comes from God. And because He owns all things, He has the right to tell us what to do with what we commonly call our possessions. We are to use them for His glory. Let me give you a third principle that I think is basic, and that is the principle of posture. Last week, we talked about the widow's mite. And as we consider that passage at the end of our time, you'll remember that we pointed out this truth, that the Lord Jesus was found sitting by the treasury. He was watching as they placed in their gifts. He not only took note of their giving, but as He called the disciples over, we understand that He took note of the spirit in which they gave. He cares about what we give, but He cares more about the spirit in which we give. And we talked about last week, and we made this statement, I'll make it again. The value of the gift, or the value of the offering, is not determined by the amount of the offering, but by the attitude in which our offering is given. The widow's mites, those 2 pennies, that little bit, which was all that she had, because remember the Bible says she was poor, literally destitute. She gave out of consideration. She gave out of a spirit of worship. God said the others gave out of the abundance of their wealth. The Lord Jesus said her offering was worth more than all the other offerings combined. Because she gave in the right spirit. Our attitude, or the posture of our life, matters. The Lord valued her gift more than all others because it was her love for God that was her motivation. To borrow from this morning, she sought to please God, not man, in the way she gave. Beloved, if you and I are going to honor the Lord with our substance, we have to reckon and settle on those truths. These basic principles in relation to our possessions and all that we own. It is God who owns all things, including your life. He has given us all things according to His riches and glory, according to His good measure. And we are to use it for His glory, not our self-satisfaction. That leads me to the next thought, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it's simply this. How should we give? I want to talk tonight about some principles of our giving. Again, as we do this tonight, it's not about how much you give. We don't know how much you give. It doesn't matter how much that one person gives. We're interested in how we give to the Lord. Paul in this chapter is laying before the church of Corinth. By the way, Corinth was not a poor church. Corinth was a wealthy church. In more respects, by the way, than just in money. They were wealthy in gifts that God had given them. They were able to be greatly used of the Lord in many ways. But he is laying before them a challenge to give. If you understand Paul's third missionary journey, you're going to understand that much of what he did, outside of just encouraging the churches that he had established, was that Paul was on a mission to take up a collection for the saints in Jerusalem. Those who had been suffering greatly by means of persecution, many of whom were destitute. You know, I kind of think Paul had a soft spot for the Jewish Christians. And I think the reason may honestly be because, as we'll see next week in Galatians 1, he was the chief persecutor and he wasted it. And Paul was indebted to the Jews and to the believers there in Jerusalem and Judea. So he was taking up a collection. And Paul would write to those in Galatia and to other cities, the Gentiles, and ask that they would give to meet the needs of the Jews. And that was the purpose of this writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He is writing for them about that collection and their giving towards it. In writing to the church of Corinth, though, he wasn't able to commend them, but in essence, he has to rebuke them for their selfishness. And he points out to them the church of Macedonia as an example. They, being poor, gave generously to help others. So tonight I went through this passage to see the principles of how we ought to give. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. As we begin tonight, Paul points out the truth concerning the church in Macedonia, and he says to them that they were poor. And from these two verses, I want us to see this principle that we are to give in spite of our circumstances. We are to give in spite of our circumstances. Paul says of this church that they gave in great trial of affliction. That meant that they too were destitute. They were poor. They had very little. Financially, they had hit rock bottom. They weren't a whole lot better off than the Jews there in Jerusalem, who also were suffering in affliction. But the church in Macedonia, although poor, abounded in joy and in giving. They were willing to give in spite of their circumstances. And I want you to note that they gave joyfully. In the midst of their hardship, in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their problem circumstances, as they saw the need, they were willing to give, not grudgingly, but joyfully. We're going to see in just a moment, they really wanted to give. They may not have had much, but they wanted to be a part. They wanted to be used of the Lord to be a blessing unto others. And Paul says, they abounded unto riches of liberality. And he is using them as an example to the church in Corinth that was rich. They had failed to give towards this offering. They had promised to give, but had not given. And Paul writes and says, let me share an example with you. They didn't let their circumstances determine their worship. They worshiped the Lord in spite of the circumstances, folks. And God took note of that. By the way, he takes note of how we give. I know we want to think of our giving as a very personal thing, and no one needs to know, and folks, no one here needs to know. But God knows. And he takes note of how you and I give. By the way, he notices when you and I give humbly. He notices when we give in arrogance. God takes note of how we give. This church gave, even though they didn't have. They gave in spite of their circumstances, and they gave joyfully. In fact, Paul in Philippians will remind this church of Macedonia that God would supply all of their need according to his riches in glory. Now, we like a verse like that. We like to quote that to people who are struggling and facing hard times. God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Understand the context of the statement and to whom Paul is writing. He is writing to people who gave in spite of their circumstances, who gave joyfully, who gave abundantly, even though they themselves were poor. We are to give in spite of our circumstances. Look now with me at verses 3 and 4. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul wants us to know that we are to give enthusiastically. We are to give enthusiastically. I want you to look with me at verse 4. It says that they praying us with much entreaty. The concept of that phrase simply means they begged to be a part of the offering. They begged to be a part of the offering. They wanted to have a part in ministering to meet the needs of the saints there in Jerusalem. And what Paul is actually saying is, they came to us. They said, we want to give. Paul, you have to let us give. When's the last time you begged for another offering? Right? What's the last church service you've ever been to that someone stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, we need to pass the plates again? Now, I got a few ushers that always come to me when we have a special service. Tim Burrell's great at this. Are we having an offering tonight, Pastor? I wasn't thinking about it. I think we need to take one. Okay. If you want to get the ushers together and we want to take an offering, all power to us, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good that we want to give. And this church was giving enthusiastically. They begged, Paul, let us give. They weren't pressured to give. They weren't reminded to give. They gave enthusiastically out of a willing heart. The grace of God opened their hearts and it opened their hands. And they wanted to give. I like what Warren Wiersbe had to say in relation to this verse. He says, your giving is not the result of cold calculation, but of warm-hearted jubilation. Think about that statement for a moment. When you give, when you sit down, whatever day of the week you might sit down to fill out your offering envelope or to write your check or to stuff it with the cash, how do you make that determination? Well, we crunch the numbers. I need this, I need that, there we go. And that's what's left for God. He said, that's not how we're supposed to give. It's not through cold calculation. It ought to be warm-hearted jubilation. We mentioned it this week, and I'll say it again. It really ought to be. It's not so much of the 10%, Lord, okay, this is what I make, and so this is my 10, and well, I want to give a little extra, and we come up with a number. We ought to be able to sit down and say, Lord, what do you want me to give this week? Because I'm more than happy to give whatever you want me to give. And when God lays the number down, we say, praise the Lord, I'll write that check, I'll put that money in, and I'm happy to give. And when the offering comes, I'm not going, oh boy, So many things I could do with that this week. We give. Enthusiastically, willingly. Folks, that was this church to whom Paul was pointing to. He said that they gave enthusiastically. But third, he would say that they gave as Christ himself gave. Look at verse 5, down through verse 9. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that he, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, notice what he says to this church in Corinth. As ye abound in everything, this is their richness, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us. Now the challenge. See that ye abound in this grace also. What he's saying is God has gifted you with much. Now abound in the grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, verse 8, but by occasion of the frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now here's the example, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Paul challenged them to give as Christ gave. The church in Macedonia not just gave to the offering, they gave themselves first. They understood that what God was really wanting wasn't so much the money that we have or the possessions that we could give. What God really wants is us. Remember the words of David after his sin? David recognized it isn't sacrifice and offering that you want. You want a broken and a contrite heart. David said, you want me. And folks, that's what God wants of you and I. We're talking about matters of money and finance. And we can begin to think that all that God seems to be interested in is what I commonly think is mine. Folks, he wants more. He wants something far better. By the way, he doesn't need your possessions and your money. He owns it all. What he wants is you. What he wants is me. What he gives to us as we give is the opportunity to invest our lives in his. I say to you this way often because I want you to see it and really catch hold and believe this. We get to partner together with God. He has given us that privilege. It's not our right. It is a privilege that he says, I want to use you. I want you to be involved with me. Paul would say it. I thank God that he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It's nothing of himself, but he said, I'm thankful God gives me that opportunity. And this church was willing to give as Christ gave. He points in verse 9 to this thought, that Christ became poor that we might be made rich. I think of passages like Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of the servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can't help but think of 2 Corinthians 5:21. That he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Paul points to that truth. Jesus Christ of his grace gave his life, became poor, that you might be rich. Give as God, Christ gave. So he challenges them, and we're challenged to give as he gave. When you and I take part in the ministry of giving, we do so as Christ himself also gave. What a blessing. He goes on, he says, give willingly. Give willingly. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, it says this, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. What he's saying is, folks, a year ago you promised to give to this offering. A year ago you said you would help meet the needs of the Jews. But yet still nothing has been given. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Paul said, a year ago you made a promise to be involved in this giving. You pledged that you would be involved in helping the needs of the saints. Now it's time for you to perform. And I want you to do it out of a willing heart. You willed to promise. Now you must perform. Out of a willing heart, you must now give. You know, it's one thing to promise, but it's another to perform. It's so easy for us to say things from our lips by words of promise. Some of the greatest lies that we share within the realm of Christianity are things like this: I'll pray for you. We say that with no intention to get on our knees and bring that person before Almighty God. We just know it makes them feel better. They think someone's praying for them. Isn't that sweet? If you promise, we ought to perform it. Oh, I want to be involved, Pastor. I want to serve. I want to be able to show up. And I want to be there. You can count on me. Then we don't come. We don't serve. We don't show. We can do it with our giving. I promise I'm going to give. I'm going to meet this need. And I want to be involved. And then when it comes down for it, we're just not willing to part with what we have determined to be ours. Paul says, give willingly. I want to read another statement to you tonight in relation to the willingness of giving and God's seeing of how we give. One commentator said it this way: God sees not the portion, but the proportion. If we could have given more and did not, God notes it. If we wanted to give more and could not, God also notes that. When we give willingly according to what we have, we are practicing grace giving. God wants us to give from a willing heart. Now, folks, you can't give what you don't have. We understand that. God gives to some much, he gives to others little. But God does note how we give. Sometimes there's an offering that comes by and we look at it and we say, Lord, this is what you have told me to give. I give it joyfully. I give it happily. I just wish I could have done more. You feel that way? Folks, God takes note of that. The flip side is true. We look at things, we have much more that we could give. I don't want to give. That is mine. God says, I want you to be able to give that which I require of you. I can remember years ago sitting in a service. We had a special speaker in. The offering was being taken. I remember noting what was in my wallet. I remember noting what I had planned for what was in that wallet. I remember that there was a smaller portion that I was very willing to give because we could afford to give that. Very happy to do so. And I knew that the other portion was going to get us through just to when payday came. So I had that set aside. It was reserved. Guess what God wanted to touch that night? He wanted to touch what was reserved. I remember that, folks. I think, Lord, you're talking to the wrong guy. I could look around. They could afford that. They could afford that. They could. Lord, I can't afford that. He said, that's what I want. And I'll be honest with you. There's been times that the Lord has done that and I've given less. And there's times that I've done that and given what he asked. And even more. You know, the blessing comes when we do from a willing heart what God requires. Because he supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory. And we had some things earmarked for that. We wanted to do it. You know what was neat? God provided. In ways we never expected, he met a need. Simple things. Kind of like finding a cell phone when you didn't know what you did with it. God is concerned about those things, folks. He cares about you and I. But he wants us to give willingly. But finally, folks, he wants us to give by faith. Look at verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. For it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. What he is referencing there is the time in the wilderness and God's provisions of manna. Folks, it is God who gives us our daily bread. Every day the Israelites were instructed to wake up and go gather what ye have need of. Don't take more. Don't try to store it up because it will be wasted. Take what ye have need of. And every man was provided for, and no one lacked. There were those who were selfish and thought, I'm still going to hoard as much as I can. They would wake up only to find it to be rotted and no good. It is God who provides our daily bread. He exhorts us here to give by faith. And in so doing, God supplies our need. You and I are called to walk each day and live each day by faith. Folks, that includes not just your spiritual life, it does include your physical life, which involves our possessions and our money. We are to give as God directs by faith. He has called us to be wise with our funds. We are not saying to be foolish with what God has entrusted to us. But folks, there is a big difference between being foolish and being greedy. There are many in our world today who claim to be wise when in essence it's greed. And that's what Paul's reminding them of. Well, it'd be wise to gather a little bit. What if tomorrow the manna doesn't come? Get a little more. The manna, I don't know if God's going to give that tomorrow. He's got it today. Gather. And it was spoiled. We are to use what God has given to us wisely. But we are not to hoard what he has given for ourselves. We are to give as he directs by faith. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul would challenge the people to give or to lay up in store according as God has prospered you. He wants us to give by faith. Folks, how can we claim to be giving to God by faith if we give no thought in giving? We talked about this last week under the widow's two mites. There were those who went and just threw in their offering. She also cast in her offering, but she considered the fact that it was all that she owned. It was a matter of her worship. And the Lord Jesus points out and says, they just gave out of their abundance. They have much, so they gave with no thought. You and I live in a land and in a world today that very few people know much about not wanting at all. We have what we want. We don't have to speak about needs all too often. Because let's face it, we have our needs and we get what we want. But God says, I have prospered you by faith. I want you to give. Can you and I be giving willingly as Christ gave when we're just going through the motions week after week of giving? Folks, it matters how we give. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes note of it. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest, talking about giving is uncomfortable. I don't like it. I understand. It is a very personal matter. And we don't want people to come in and say and tell us how we ought to give. But folks, I want to remind you that I'm not telling you how to give. God's word is. He says to us that we ought to give in spite of our circumstances. He says, give enthusiastically. He says, give as my son gave to you. He says, give willingly. He says, give by faith. By the way, if you flip over to chapter 9, he's going to say, give with joy or with a cheerful spirit. We just didn't get that far tonight. All that we have is from the Lord. And all that we have is his. It is not yours, and it is not mine. As a sovereign God, he has the right to give riches and to make some great, and he has the right to make some small. He has the right not only to give according to his desire and his plans, he has the right to direct us in how we use his funds. The money that's in your bank account, folks, is God's. The car you drive is his. The home you live in is the Lord's. How are those things to be used? For the glory of Jesus Christ. Not for you and not for me. By the way, folks, you're going to find that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is no regret, there is no want, there is joy. I don't think Paul regrets one day that he gave to Christ after Damascus Road. Not one. Folks, when he died, he owned very little, but he gave the church much. Not only in his writings, not only in his example, but folks, I believe even of all that he possessed. He died asking for his cloak and the parchments. Everything else never mattered. Jesus Christ lived upon this earth, and he made this statement, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the airs have nests. But the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. But no one gave more than the very Son of God. You're not going to regret allowing God to direct you, and I'm not going to regret God directing me in how we use what He has entrusted to us. To all of us, individually, He called us out to be saints. And by His sovereign will and His providence, He placed us in this church. And we, as a single body, in this locality, are required to be faithful stewards of what He has given to us. This is His church. These are His ministries. We are His people. You can talk to me about my church, and I want you to take some ownership in the sense that I want you to be invested. But never forget, it's God's. I've been called to be the pastor, the leader, but it's not my will over everyone else's. It is His will done on earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will accomplished on earth, not my will accomplished in heaven. It's His church. It's His ministries. It's His vision. It's His plan. It's His purpose. We're His people. And in order to meet the needs of His church, He has blessed us all according to His perfect will. You say, I don't have much. Trust me, you have much and you've been blessed. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He made you rich. We are now called to take that blessing and put it to use as we can partner with our God to accomplish His work. Folks, I said it to you last week. I mean this with all my heart. If we would give as God directs, there is not a need that will go unmet within His church. There's not a bill that won't be paid, not a salary that won't be met, not a ministry we won't be able to accomplish, because God will supply for His church. But understand, He doesn't do it through some strange, miraculous ways. Years ago, I knew of a pastor. He would walk into the church office every day and say, did the mail come in yet? Did we get our check? He would claim that he was living by faith, trusting that God was going to supply this wonderful thing through some big check to come to the church to get him out of their financial woes. I thought, how foolish. God gives to His church through His people that He's called out and placed in the church. And God will supply our needs as we supply the needs for His ministry and for His people. Folks, God tells us how we ought to give. And in it all, money does matter. We can't deny it. You say, I don't like to talk about money. Not many people do. But money matters in the church. And it ought to matter to us. We need to be interested, and we need to be invested. And then be faithful stewards to what God has entrusted to us, that glory be brought to God. God provides for His church. What a blessing we get to be involved and watch it all happen. To God be the glory. Great things He has done, great things He will do for us because of His amazing grace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight that we've been able to come and consider together these thoughts this evening.